UM Radio.
FC and Music United.
Brought to you by constructivecoding.com.
Kingsland in East Anglia, Kendal in North Lancashire. If you can't be off to travel away, FC Radio.
Oh, gentlemen, please.
Is that right, little Frank?
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome FCers from across the world. You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester, and this is the last in the present series of FC Live. And joining me down the other end of the phone now, to bask in the glory of a season finale, we're joined by the best commentary team money can't buy. Mr. James Quinn's with us, everyone. Hello, James, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon, everyone.
We've got Stato Paul's here, everyone. Stato Paul, everyone. Paul, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Hello. And we're also joined, very excited, all the way from the European Union. It's Swampy, everyone. Swampy!
Ah, bonsoir, bonjour, madames and mademoiselles.
So this is FC Live, the last in the present series, brought to you by the lovely people at constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Well, that was an exciting intro. I think we can all agree. Sadly, though, the three people down the other end of the phone, could you hear any of that build-up?
Yes, hear it all.
Great, fantastic.
Oh, you could hear the music as well?
Yeah, everything.
Oh, that's amazing. Right. Well, you might be able to hear the interviews then in a bit. And speaking of interviews, coming up on this week's show, the final FC Live of the series, we're joined by Cameron Belford, the manager's player of the season, Curtis Jones, and the big winner this year, the big winner, the FCM Radio Player of the Season, Luke Griffiths, will be joining us later at the end of the show. That's right. So, first things first, we have to ask the big
team sheet.
Team news. Time for team news, everyone. Well, that's outstanding, isn't it? Right. Well, the lineup today. Obviously, no Roy Sewell. He's at home recuperating, but we do send him our best. No Woodzo, by the way. Woodzo was a late bail on this week's show, and that's because of, it's logistics more than anything, wasn't it, Paul?
Did he get bail?
And that's it. There's no FC Live today at commentary, for obvious reasons, which is sad, really, because we were going for it, weren't we, James? We were there.
Absolutely.
We were there. But as our friend Berkey pointed out on another channel, Swampy, we always get beat in playoff finals, so probably for the best.
It's interesting you should say that, because on my Facebook page, there's a picture of you and me with an older gentleman from 11 years ago at Colwyn Bay. And I think I'm right in saying that game was must have been the playoff, because it's playoff game, and we were defeated equally.
Yeah, that was a big day, wasn't it, Paul? It was very windy. There was a lot going on the hillside just to our left. It was very, very exciting.
It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
I concur. It was one of the worst games I've ever commentated on, and it was even worse the fact that and no disrespect, but I travelled on the supporters' coach, who had quite a lot of alcohol on arrival and even more on the way back. So, it was interesting. It was a dreadful game of football, you're right. I think we got it completely wrong on the day.
And may I add that the fact that their goal scorer was given their freedom of quarter of the pitch to score the decisive goal was the removal of any icing on the cake, if you know what I mean. reverse that.
I think he had about 4 acres plus that field, James. You're right. He just basically had the keys to Colwyn Bay, didn't he?
Norton and Wright were suspended that day. That was a key.
And I'm right in saying, Paul, how many playoff finals have we actually had and won? I can only think of Skelmersdale.
Well, there was four back to back, and then Skem was before that.
Like I said, I mean, it was probably for the best that we didn't proceed all the way.
Are you suggesting then, Ben, that we wouldn't have actually got promoted if today was to be played?
I'm not suggesting that. Those are your words, Swampy, not mine.
I'm just wondering, because it would be irrelevant for the interviews about to come up, because I think all the players were quite convinced they were going to do something special this year. You've already poo-pooed it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new era, Ben.
Whoa. Settle down, everyone. I was about to ask you some positive questions.
Okay.
I mean, one of the questions, we put a tweet out about 4 minutes ago before we went on air to say what's been your highlight of the season. And we have asked some of the players who are coming on as well for their highlights. But it's been littered with highlights. It's been such a good season. Paul, on a scale of the great seasons of the Rochdale season or the Quorn season or the Stourbridge season, where does this one rank in your humble opinion?
I think it's definitely a 7 or an 8, this one. It's been a very exciting ride with a new team, a new division, new challenges. I think it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, it's been a great story this season because it started off very slowly. And people inevitably started to fear the worst. And then gradually the team got into gear. The arrival of Tunde Olabi helped, but also the team just get to know each other. And as a settled 11 developed, the way that the side just kept on climbing up the table pretty relentlessly was extraordinary, really. And it was also interesting that there were a lot of draws, and I think many of those draws would have been defeats last season. I remember Michael Donoghue saying that after the early 0-0 draw at Lancaster, we'd have lost that game last season. So I think there was a real durability in the squad, as well as lots of skill and great football.
Well, to be honest, it's all irrelevant, isn't it? Because it counts for absolutely nothing.
You're doing so well.
But that aside, which is a great shame, I think it's the games. Obviously, I've not seen as many live games as from an away perspective. I've been lucky enough to see all the home games either on screen or actually being there to commentate on. And I think the football on show this season has been some of the best. I mean, we go back to last season for one game in particular when we went to Hereford and we saw the potential of how a Neil Reynolds team plays. That team disappeared with a brand new squad in place and we've seen a great, great quality and entertainment that those new players, and let's not forget the vast majority of players are very young players, step four players as well, that have come into FC United of Manchester, and actually it's been beautiful to watch. It really has, and there are so many highlights. I think one big highlight must be Tunde on his debut scoring a brace and him continuing to do that throughout the season. I think that pass from Ennis to the head of Donoghue is absolutely sublime. And I say the silky skills of watching Luke Griffiths all season. I mean, I know people love watching individuals, but that player, I think wherever he went, I mean, you could watch him every single week and just enjoy the talent that the lad brings. And that's not to do a disservice to all the other players, because they've actually been magnificent. They really have.
And speaking of Luke Griffiths, we'll be hearing from Luke Griffiths towards the end of the show. We're also going to be hearing from Curtis Jones. But big news this past week, and that's regarding Cameron Belford. Obviously, he was on loan to us, and he's gone back to Nuneaton. It's already been trailed, this, the fact that there is going to be an exclusive coming up, dear listener, about who Cameron Belford's replacement is going to be. So stick around for that news. But on Saturday afternoon, I caught up with FC United's departing number one to hear his take on the season that's just gone by.
Overall, a little bit disappointing that it's ended the way it has, but, you know, that's the way it's gone, and people's health are obviously more important than the football. But, you know, because I think we were having a great season, in fairness, and I think we could have done something special this year. I know today would have been playoff day, and playoff final day, sorry, and I think we had a right good chance of being in it and winning it. So, but you know, I think the lads have probably learned a lot this season. And if they can keep that together and keep that momentum and take it to next season, there's no reason why they can't be as successful.
Now, when it comes to your decision to come to the club in the first place, I mean, I'm going to say, any regrets from that loan? I can't see that many, to be honest.
No, not at all. I mean, I obviously played against FC United previous. I actually found a game on someone sent me a YouTube video of a Bury pre-season friendly when we were in League One with Bury, and I remember playing FC United at Gig Lane. I think we won 1-0, and I watched it. It was a good bit of highlights, to be fair, and And I think that was the first time I ever played against FC United. And even then, in the pre-season friendly, you could tell where the club was going. You know, so when the opportunity come to sign for the club on loan, it was a no-brainer, really. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed every single moment I was there at the club.
And any particular highlights? I mean, there's been a few, I'm going to suggest. I mean, the early days of the Manchester Premier Cup and the League Cup,
yep.
Obviously penalty saver extraordinaire and that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, any particular highlights for you?
It's hard to pinpoint one, I'd say. I mean, obviously we've had a few. The penalty saves are obviously a big moment. Every keeper likes to be the hero in a penalty shootout, and I was fortunate to be that a couple of times, and you know, they're always good to look back on. You know, there's individual games, obviously the first league game, when I made my first league game debut for FC, it was against Buxton, the 7-0. I think that was a massive starting point, and we just seemed to kick on from there, really. You know, the comeback at Warrington, Lancaster, the Lancaster win last minute, you know, it was they're times that you can look back on fondly. You know, you see the fans' reaction at the final whistle, and it's incredible. So I think that just showed the spirit we had, not just only in the team but the club as itself, as a whole. And we were all in it together, and you know, I think we were all quietly confident of doing something special. And as I say, it's just a little bit unfortunate that we didn't get to finish the season off.
Hey, what's your message to the FC United fan base as you depart the club after such a great year?
Yeah, just a thank you, really. Thank you for, you know, treating me the way you did. You know, you brought back a little bit of love for the game, a little bit of the enjoyment I'd probably lost in the last year at Nuneaton. I had a difficult season last season at Nuneaton. As you know, we got relegated with FC United from the National North, and I kind of lost a little bit of love for the game. And you know, I think FC United was the perfect opportunity for me to come, be surrounded by great people, you know, staff, players. And passionate people, passionate fans that bring you that little bit of love, and I can only say thank you for helping me get back on that right footing.
And this might sound like an obvious question, and it'll probably have an even more obvious answer. But hoping one day to come back, maybe not as a player, but certainly as a supporter.
100%. I mean, you know, FC United is a great place to be. If you even for the neutral fan, you know, I mean, you go to the games and you can't help but be overawed by the whole experience of a game. You know, there's a fan come down from Stranraer, I think on my 400th game, and he was overawed by it, and he said he would definitely be making the journey back down, and whenever he's in the area, the first place he'll look to go is Broadhurst Park. And I think that's the overall feeling with anyone that has a good time there. And you know, if I've not got a game on a Saturday or a midweek and FC United are playing, I'll be sure to come down and watch and be involved in the stands.
There we go, Cameron Belford there. Big, 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 big breaking news, everyone. Cameron Belford, sending our best wishes to him. Been a cracky keeper this year. He's gone back to Nuneaton now. So, who's going to be FC United's number one for next season? Well, a couple of minutes before we went on air, I caught up with Mr. Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United, to find out. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. Big breaking news brought to you exclusively here on FC Radio on Saturday afternoon. We've signed someone. Who've we signed?
Nah, Ben, it's been a difficult time the last couple of weeks. We've been waiting on finding out what was going to happen with Cameron Belford. Obviously, Cam was at Nuneaton last season and, you know, was on considerably more money than what we could have afforded to pay him. And we sat down with Cam at the end of the season, who's been remarkable, and we could get nowhere near, you know, nowhere near. So what we've done, we've just shook hands and, you know, let Cam go and seek elsewhere, and you know, and we wish him all the best. But that meant that we had a number one vacancy. I'm a big admirer of this keeper for the last, you know, couple of years since I've watched him play, and the thought of being able to get him to FC United was really exciting. I got to talk to Ollie Martin, who was a Radcliffe number one, a couple of weeks ago. We made an offer, and again, you know, it wasn't the offer that he was looking for, but we just sold him the club, and we talked to him about the club, and you know what he knew. All he knows about me is that I certainly wasn't going to change my offer. And, you know, he came back to me a few days later and said that he's delighted for the opportunity to be able to join a wonderful club of FC United. And it's been his long-term ambition to go and play for the club. So we've done a virtual handshake over the phone. We are going to announce it this afternoon, but delighted to let the fans know that we've secured a new number one. You know, I'm sure he'll be a fan's favourite next season. That's Ollie Martin.
Well, there we go. Ollie Martin, the brand new signing from FC United. And at this point, I'm going to try and hand back to our colleagues who are in multiple locations, not just in Manchester, but also in the European Union. Hello, hello. Can you hear me okay? Are we back?
Yeah, this live show is working considerably better than the normal live show.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? That bit then worked quite well when you three weren't here, but then we came straight back to you, and it's back to the normal quality. But Swampe, Ollie Martin, Radcliffe FC, joining FC United, earmarked to be FC's number one for next season. That's a good signing right there, isn't it?
It's a top quality signing. I mean, he was excellent against us last season and the 20 games they played against FC. You know, and big shoes to fill from a Cameron perspective because you know he is he's like been the glue within that back four. You know, his experience, his quality, together with distribution, because that's one key aspect to a Neil Reynolds team is you want a goalkeeper with good distribution who's got good handling ability, but also good with his feet, can get the ball out quickly. And I think Ollie is he's matured hugely, and it's an exceptionally good signing. And the fact that you know he wants to come to the club. And I'm sure he's probably taking a wage cut as well because, you know, we have a very stringent budget, FC United Manchester. So I don't really think Ollie probably would have even needed to be sold FC this season, you know, with the amount of games that he's played against us and also seeing the FC crowd both home and away. And I think Neil's got a very good goalkeeper there, and I'm very happy for him to be joining us for next season.
And Paul, it was very important, wasn't it, to get... It's very important to get this signing right because Cameron Belford, like we said last week in our Play of the Season podcast, he's been you know the bedrock of this team. His distribution's been superb. Neil needs to get this signing right.
Yeah, we only have to go back to the season before this one where we had a calamitous time with goalkeepers on loan, etc., and injuries. For anybody who doesn't know much about Ollie Martin, he got promotion with Radcliffe, of course, in 2018-19. He played every minute of last season, 2019-20, so his fitness obviously isn't a problem. And in 90 games for Radcliffe, he kept 33 clean sheets.
Like that, Paul.
I tell you what, that's amazing. How he just give you that information, and he's got all that information like that, bang. It's incredible.
Just to say, dear listeners at home, he had no idea about the new signing, did Stato Paul. Was that all in your brain?
Put it this way, there was three names being bandied about, so I prepped for all of them.
Well done.
Oh, clever man.
Very good, isn't it? James, I mean, Cameron Belford, obviously, we heard from Cameron earlier. He has been excellent this season, and he goes with our best wishes.
He does, yeah. And he was just a real head on his shoulders, hasn't he? And experience. It was interesting, really. Mentioned, you know, Paddy Wharton was doing very well in terms of skill, but then he got all the injuries, and then there was the sort of misunderstanding or whatever you want to say about his appearance in the cup with Atherton, which sent him on his way. But I think because I thought when Paddy Wharton was injured, I was concerned because he was a good shot stopper, but Belford was a very different sort of presence really, and really got, you know, utterly got the club as well.
Yeah, the one thing as well, which was good for FC, is that Cameron never pretty much was injury free all through the season as well. Because if you lose a goalkeeper of quality, so we did with Paddy Wharton initially, then you know you have to look out there for goalkeepers, and they're at a premium. We got the right goalkeeper in who served us superbly well. The same with Ollie Martin. I'm sure he's going to go on and hopefully have a great illustrious career at FC United and Manchester. It would be nice to see a goalkeeper at FC that can stay, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5. 6 seasons, you know, somewhere the bedrock of the team who's got the quality and the age in their favour, because you know Cameron, you know, I think he's 34, 35, you know, not necessarily coming to the end of his career, because I'm sure he's going to go on and enjoy some more football. But if we can get a young goalkeeper in who's not at his peak yet, hasn't gone beyond his peak or his prime, and get him moving forward. And that can only help then develop the other goalkeepers, because obviously we're going to need a number two underneath Ollie Martin as well, because you don't want a goalkeeper complacent. And we found that over the last few seasons where goalkeepers didn't have anyone really to be challenged. there was complacency, and Paul, I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yeah, that's the danger, and of course, keeping the subkeeper happy is a very big problem.
What age is Ollie Martin?
I think he's late 20s.
I thought you would have known this, Paul.
I left it to you. You know what? I'm taking it all back. Taking it all back. What we said earlier about Paul. That's basic, Paul. Come on.
Yeah, he doesn't really prep, does he? Paul, who were the other two then? Anyway, who were the other two goalkeepers that you'd prep for? And do you know their ages?
Well, we know old Basso was.
Was he being touted?
Just before we move on to discuss the squad for next season, because that's one thing that we need to cover off. Just to mention for the fantastic fundraising effort that's been going on since you last heard from us, No Drain, No Game. I'll come to you for this, James. I mean, it's been pretty phenomenal stuff from the fan base, hasn't it?
I think it's just I was exchanging messages. The chair, Adrian said, and launched it at 3 o'clock last Saturday. And he said he was sat in his garden with a glass of wine watching the total tick up. And I remember at one point it went from 3,000 to 6,000 in a single refresh. And of course, we reached the 15,000 target within about 24 hours. And then it's been stretched and it's now gone on past 23,000. So it's 77% to the new target. And of course, it's very important because the 15,000 was for the drainage, but FC maybe losing up to £200,000 of income from various streams. And therefore, we do need the extra funding. Great news that I understand the club has furloughed the staff, but has made up their wages to, going to make their wages to 100%. But it is absolutely, I think it's such a tribute to supporters of FC United and anyone else has chipped in that this fund has gone up so quickly. Still 20 days left, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And Swampy, the good news is that FC United, in conjunction with us, we should say, we did agree to it, has given some berths to the commentary team. £100 a go, you could join the commentary team. And that sold out within less than 48 hours. So therefore, outdoing the club in many ways.
Within minutes, in fairness. I mean, unfortunately, the downside is I actually am one of them because I completely got confused and thought, I'll press that. And then, hold on a second, I just spent £100 to actually commentate. Hold on, that can't be right. I believe Sato Paul's another and James maybe the other. We paid the club for us to commentate. I think it's fantastic. I mean, we have done it before. I think we've had two or three people. I don't think they paid £100 that time to do it. But we have had co-commentators. And as much as I love the bag lady, I'm hoping she's decided this time it's not her. It's not her bag, really.
Swampy, that was a great night. Was that Glossop?
It was Glossop, yeah. I don't think we talked about any football whatsoever. I thought we just discussed, I don't know, the latest episode of Coronation Street together with what was going on at East End. It was an incredible commentary. But supporters have done tremendously well, put a huge amount of money back into the football club, and that's one of the benefits of when you own a football club, you know where the money's going. I'd love to be able to hire the ground. You know, I mean, that is what an opportunity that would be. I mean, it's £2,500, I know, but that would be absolutely fantastic to hire the ground, have a football game on there and feel like, an FC player for an afternoon.
Just a quick question. You hiring out the ground, what for exactly?
So we can look at the great drainage work that's been accomplished. What do you mean, what for?
Saw you on a football pitch, Paul will back me up here, Tameside Stadium, it was dreadful, wasn't it, Paul?
It's got the boots.
The Roy Patterson's boots, he lifted them off him.
I've told you, you don't want to try and kick a football from the halfway line with a pair of corduroy trousers on because basically the chafing just doesn't help. And that was the problem. I did play 2009 against Hoker Old Boys, if you remember. So I do have a precedent of actually being, you know, I can get myself fit if I need to be fit, but it's very doubtful that I'd be using it anything other than maybe for a charity or anything like that. But again, I'm sure someone's going to take that offer up and it would be fantastic. It would be great for someone to actually purchase it on behalf of the club, and then have a cup final for, let's say, I don't know, the Homeless World Cup or something, you know, something that has real credence and real community spirit and base that way, and then have the final there.
What a good idea we've just stumbled across there, dear listener. Well done, Swampy. Are you putting the money up? Or
I thought it was coming out of your furlough wages, because I've heard Secura call after coming round to your house nowadays with the amount of work that you're doing.
They just throw it on the driveway, though. Don't come anywhere near me.
The driveway.
Sorry. All right. Blimey, that fire.
He sends the dogs out.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's no way to talk about his children.
Just to say, crowdfunder.co.uk /no-drain-no-game. Just to say, hyphen is the actual dash we're talking about there.
And also, Ben, yep, to be honest, what's interesting is whilst we're doing that for ourselves as a football club, we have to remember, and I'm sure you'll probably be going on to this, the amount of work that Vinnie Thompson and a whole host of other people have helped create. Magnificent work in these real testing times for people, and helping a local community of people is exactly what FC United were all about. And it's just proven again that, you know, yes, we need money for our own survival to a degree, but basically the survival of human beings and making sure that they're looked after should be the responsibility of government. But unfortunately, it's put upon people like ourselves to do that great work. And I must admit, if anyone is free to still help them, get out there and help them. But it's absolutely amazing amount of work that's been done, and I really applaud all those people because they're also putting themselves at risk as well. Wonderful work, and again, it's just something that not only FC but other clubs are doing as well. But our club is doing and changing and making people's lives slightly better.
Just to echo what Swabby just said, well done, Vinny. Well done, all the volunteers. Well done, the office staff as well, who were giving up the time to help out too. And also, we should mention the other organisations who are helping out as well. We Love Manchester, Buzz Manchester, Fair Share. By the way, Fair Share are doing some cracking work at the moment everywhere. Fine Lady Bakery, Grandad Sausages, Holland's Pies, Candy King, and everyone at home, Vimto.
If we can't get a sponsorship deal out of this for next season, we might as well give up.
Getting Vimto on board, that's another level, isn't it? Come on, Vimto. And also Master Moves as well for helping out with the van and for providing hand sanitizer, HMG paints. But James, you've obviously been in and out of the office before lockdown and that kind of thing. I mean, that's what Broadhurst Park is for. Essentially, it was for football, but also being part of the community too.
It is, yeah. It's been good. I had some time on my hands, and I had to spend a bit of time in the office answering the phone and sometimes stocking fridges and so on, and just contributing a bit. But it's kind of a good mix of the people of the office staff that are employed with volunteers that come in, and it's also you can learn how to stop speeding as well, of course, as I found out.
We'll be coming back to some of your memories from the past season and all that, and I'm also wanting to touch upon with all three of you the squad for next season and how it looks and how you want it to look and that kind of thing. But before that, it's award season, everyone. This year, we're able to bring you interviews with not just the FCUM Radio Player of the Season, but also the Manager's Player of the Season. So I'm going to say goodbye to you three temporarily, just for 4 minutes or so, and we'll be back soon. And I'm not going to slag you off air, I promise. Joking. But anyway, yes, the Manager's Player of the Year, as announced a couple of weeks ago when we had our season review with Mr. Neil Reynolds, he gave it to defender Curtis Jones. And on Saturday afternoon, I caught up with the man himself.
It could have easily have gone to three or four different players, I feel, this season. And I think to win the award, especially with the talent that we've got in the dressing room, it's a massive achievement. I think the management staff have helped me so much this year as well, especially with me when I got injured with my groin and just kind of the rehab and stuff. They kind of set a bit of time apart to kind of do individual sessions with myself. But yeah, as a season as well, it's been amazing. I think we've gelled so well as a team, and I think especially the recruitment of the management staff to kind of build a new team. And I don't think any other team in our league has done a better recruitment job than us this season. So I think that's a massive achievement in itself as well. So yeah,
I mean, when we go back to the summer and you know, when you came to the club, and has this met expectations this season? I mean, what were your expectations for what FC could do when we go back to that trip down south and in the pre-season and those matches against Bangor and the like?
Well, quite a few of my friends have played for FC, and every one of them just said, you need to go. It's by far the best non-league team you're gonna get. And I think soon as obviously we went to Brighton, I think it was 2 weeks into pre-season. I just think with the fans we took down there, and I don't think we won a game over there, but still the fans were still there, and I think we had like a team night out, bonding session, and some of the fans came out there as well. And yeah, it's just been unbelievable. I think and some of the numbers we've managed to get this season, some of the home games and the away games, that the fans have been so good. And I think it is probably that it's the best non-league team I've been to, and you can probably see that with the performances, not just from me, but from the team as well. I think most of the other lads will say exactly the same thing. So yeah.
And as a defender, obviously, you love all your teammates, but that back four and the goalkeeper as well. I mean, the offside trap's been brilliant this season, in all fairness. Your Beckenbauer style runs through the middle have been good as well. I mean, what's it like playing in that defensive unit this season just gone?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I think we've been quite lucky to kind of have a back four that's played as many games as we've played. I think obviously with Erin at right back and me and Doyle centre half and Doddy left back and then Cam in behind, I think we must have all played about 35 plus this games this season. I think that's sometimes quite rare, but and obviously that's probably one of the main reasons why we've done so well, because we've managed to have a settled 11 for most of the season, really. I think there was a stage where two or three of us got injured and we kind of struggled a little bit, but yeah, we have been really lucky in terms of our 11 throughout the season has kind of been the same, and yeah, I think that's probably obviously why we have done so well. And so yeah,
38 appearances for yourself, just 6 bookings. I have to highlight that one. Putting Tundy, Potts, and Griffiths to shame. In all fairness, but highlight of the season, I'm going to suggest maybe one moment in particular, a certain late goal. Not to put words into your mouth, but apart from that moment, any other standout moments for you?
Yeah, Warrington obviously is up there. I just think, and looking back at it now, I think that point was massive. Especially Warrington are always going to be in the playoffs, so in and around it. Other highlight, maybe was it Micklover away? Was it towards the end of the season? I think did we win? Was it 4-0? I think it was. Yeah, so I think probably that, just because I think we were just in control of the game all the way through. And I listened to an interview I think it was last week, where the gaffer said it was probably the best performance he's seen, and I probably would agree with that, just in terms of just going there. I think it was a tough place to go, and I think they won the week before, and I think just like how well we was, I think it was 2-0 up at half time, and we just dominated the game. I mean, really did, and it kind of showed how well we've been doing, because I think that was from a spell of not doing so well in like 3 or 4 games in the build up to that, and then I think to go there and win in the way we did was massive.
It's been a phenomenal season, and like you touched upon there, the Micklover result, the Warrington performance, the Nantwich away was superb. It bodes well for next season, whenever next season is. I mean, what's your hope for the is there a hope that the squad can stay together pretty much intact and really go for the likes of South Shields for the season ahead?
Yeah, I believe that most of the players, I think near enough every player is staying. Obviously Cam is the one that's kind of leaving at the moment. I think he put something up last week on Twitter, and that's a real shame. But I think with 2 or 3 additions, I think why not? Why can't we go and challenge? And I think some of the football we played this season, I think, was unbelievable. And we've kind of found that consistency where we have been great and good for near enough every game. I just think it was just kind of the start of the season and a 2-3 game little blip. But if we can bring in 2 or 3 more additions to the squad, I think we can do great. I really do.
And finally, just a last question, Curtis. The Warrington Town match, the equaliser right at the end. What did that feel like? Just because that for a moment like that, that's going to go down in folklore that forever. So that's. I mean, what does a moment like that mean when you look back at it now, a month or so after?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I don't think I've had a moment in football where it kind of felt like that, in terms of scoring a last minute goal to kind of to equalise. It was unbelievable. And I think after the game, kind of on social media after it when I was at home, and the messages and the phone calls from friends. And I don't think I've ever realised how important scoring a goal is. And Tundy must get that every single week when he scores, and he must get all the messages and all the phone calls and stuff. So it was special to kind of get that, because obviously it's not something I'm used to. So, yeah, 100% highlight of the season for me. So it was great.
Curtis Jones there. Oh, as I try and get back in touch with the... hello? Don't swear. Don't swear. Swampy, James Quinn, Sato Paul joins us now. Curtis Jones there. Seriously, James, we've spoke to Curtis a few times this season. What a gentleman.
He is an interesting lad, and he does great work full-time with young kids with learning difficulties and so on, and he seems to really enjoy that work. There's part of him that's quite a gentle soul, certainly an articulate soul as well. And I think he's developed, hasn't he, as a player, alongside your man Doyle. And since that those two settled down, is really good. But no, I'm pleased for Curtis. And I think it's interesting the decision that Neil came up with. He would have his very specific perspective on how players have been, you know, within the team on the training ground and how they developed. And obviously the one he's gone for is Curtis. And but he is a top man.
And Paul, we covered the stats off last week about, you know, how many appearances, how many bookings and everything. And the other, the big stat.
Well, out of the seven games he missed, we mentioned it, we only won two of them.
I mean, first and foremost, the interview is superb. He speaks very well. He understands the club superbly well. He's going to grow as a player at FC United of Manchester. And again, you know, we just talked about the goalkeeper and getting a goalkeeper. Ollie Martin, by the way, Ben, he's 24 years of age. So again, we should have the opportunity. And the same, we talk about football, you need a spine. And that spine is normally a centre-half, centre-defender, centre-midfielder, centre-forward. And every one of our players in those positions currently are young men. And if we can keep those, the club can build and build and build. And I think Curtis has been superb this season. He's got all the attributes. He's good, strong. He's committed. He can, as you say, you know, Beckenbauer-esque. I would say more Martin Bukham-esque, because, you know, the way he can come away with the ball. He can also slot into a couple of different positions if needs be, further up the pitch, and you know he can hold his own. And again, he'll help some of the younger players, himself being a young man himself. But again, it's great that he's got that award, and it's the most prestigious award you can have after the FC United Radio Award, obviously, is to get the manager's seal of approval when he's been playing with some phenomenal peers this season as well, you know, and a goal scorer who scored more goals than anybody else in the division. So it goes to show that what the manager thinks of him, and it bodes very well for next season.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to say, when it comes to the other big award, obviously we've got Luke Griffiths coming on shortly to talk about him winning the FC UM Radio Player of the Season, following on from Michael Potts, who won it last year, of course. Little joke from last week. And when it comes to the Russell Delaney Player of the Season, we're still waiting on that. I believe it's going to be announced this weekend at some point. I think crowdfunders taking up a lot of people's time. But would you be surprised if it wasn't Tundy Owolabi, Swampy?
It has to be Tundy. I mean, the supporters themselves, you know, en masse will vote for Tundy. I can understand exactly the reason why. He's brought back love. He's brought back happiness. He's brought back goals galore. You know, he's scored. And he's a centre-forward, which is interesting, because he's a centre-forward for me that can score goals from everywhere. He's not your six-yard goal scorer like Van Nistelrooy, although Nistelrooy did have quite a number of shots off the post from outside the penalty area. But he's got a bit of everything about him. I think he's such a wonderful, exuberant, happy, very grounded, very, very grounded young man who, you know, if he stays with us for another couple of seasons, will only improve him and be better for him and the club. But I think from a supporter's perspective, he has to win it. No question about it.
And James, will that appease you in any way following our discussions last week? Will that make you feel slightly better?
I think it will, and I think it's right, and I understand it. What surprised me, if I may, and I don't know whether this is it's not in the public domain, but where Tundy didn't appear in somebody's top three. That's what absolutely floored me. But
oh my goodness, shots fired, what, everyone. Hey, what have you got to say in response to that, Swamper? Wow.
I think in fairness that the people that I put in my top three being Aaron Morris, being Dodd, and then being the ultimate winner will be proven over the years to be correct decision, because the likes of Tundy unfortunately will disappear. Because he's going to go to a higher standard than you would expect. The other players, I'm hoping, will stay with FC for a number of years. And I can only say it seems to me that James had the word of the year of the manager, and that's why he put Jones at number two, because no one else thought that, did they? Let's be honest.
Shots fired back, everyone. Boom! James.
This is the Bristol posse calling you out.
Well, I tell you something, it's about what happened this season, not where players may or may not end up in 2 or 3 years' time. So I said in my private message, it was a disgrace to non-league football, a disgrace to the game, and a disgrace to the club. But, I don't want to overstate it.
But let's be honest here, James. History will prove that this season didn't even happen.
Exactly.
So whatever you think, whatever I think, it makes no difference.
Yes.
All his goals in the world make no difference. I'm hoping, in fairness, and I'm touting him to actually come back to Belgium and actually, we need a centre forward at USG, and I would be happy for him to come back to Belgium, and he could play for us.
What are you doing?
This is the most controversial radio show that FC have ever done now.
He's
issuing come and get me, please.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'll have a word with the manager.
Does that constitute tapping up? Is that what just happened? I can't tell. Anyway. So Luke Griffiths will be joining us shortly.
He needs to improve his Flemish. There's not enough people speak Flemish in North Manchester.
What, Luke Griffiths? He's from Liverpool. What do you want him to do?
Well, he sounds like he speaks Flemish anyway, let's be honest. There's not much difference.
More on that later. Paul, just before we move on to talking about next season, just your overall view on Tundy's efforts this season and what he's brought to the table.
I think Tundy's record is extraordinary for a player that came over from Malta and within a day he was on the pitch and hit the ground running for FC, which we haven't seen a lot over the years. We've seen players do well, but not from the gun. And right, it took him 5 minutes to score his first goal and he never really looked back. Remarkable performance.
Yeah, it's funny because I know when Roy saw him at the ground, Roy went, hold on a second, what's Tundy doing here? And his father came over, who knows Roy very well, because obviously Roy had Tundy at New Mills for a period of time. And Roy said to us all, if you remember rightly, he said, if Tundy gets it right here, he will be absolutely outstanding. He will score goals and more goals because of his pace and because of his actual instinct and eye. And he's proven us completely right. That brace on his debut, I remember commentating on that. I think it was his second goal? No, his first goal, where basically he could have just tapped it in. It was one foot, other foot, and he hit it with a Van Nistelrooy-esque, 6 yards top corner. I mean, it just showed the confidence from day one. And I think for me, the spell where he wasn't scoring was so interesting because he never, ever gave up. He kept faith in himself and the manager kept faith in him as well. And it wasn't necessary going from in front of goal, but his work rate was tremendous. He still chased balls down and he still was a major contribution to the team. I mean, if you remember the Nantwich game, he could have maybe scored 2 or 3 in that game, but his work rate was superb, and it was Aaron Morris who actually scored the winner that night, I think. Am I right in saying that? It was, wasn't it? Aaron, yeah. So again, it's the work he does off the ball as well as on the ball, and he's a lovely talent. He's a lovely, lovely gentleman, and as I say, footballers like that, grounded. We've had a few at FC over the years, some really like Matty Wolfenden's and the like have been wonderful people to have around your football club, and he's one of them, definitely.
A goal every 99 minutes plus 7 assists.
And 9 bookings.
more than that.
We don't talk
it?
About them.
What's it, more than nine? What was it in the end?
It was 11.
11. Mm.
11.
Right. Let's...
Clogger Owolabi.
He's dirty. He's filthy. Absolutely. Oh, those challenges.
Another interesting thing I remember was the fact that he scored twice against Kettering, who were a National League North club.
Mm.
And that's a good pointer for his future and maybe our future.
Just to say, we've asked people for their favourite moments of the season. Chris has been in touch to say that last-minute winner by Tunde against Radcliffe. Just to let Chris know, that was actually Tunde's favourite moment of the season as well. And Tim's been in touch, seen both the team and the club find its mojo again. This season has reminded me of the atmosphere at Big United when we were relegated into Division 2, but bounced back and remembered again how to score and win matches. I mean, we could talk about Tunde's goal against Radcliffe. We could talk about the Lancaster winner from Doyle. We've already touched upon the Warrington equaliser. There's been so many glorious moments this season. It's good to be back, isn't it?
There's been some great highlights as we're talking about. And I think one of the pivotal games, and actually I'm just thinking about this, and we were off air, we were just talking about favourite grounds, you know, away from home grounds. A pivotal game was the Whitby Town game on a pitch that basically... You wouldn't even sow potatoes on, in all fairness. And yet,
the Yankees would have refused it.
They would have. Yeah,
I didn't enjoy that day. I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy it.
Well, as a game of football, though, the way we actually adapted and played was actually superb. Our work rate was absolutely outstanding. You know, on a pitch that basically, as they should have been ripped up and resigned to the dustbin of football pitch history because it was that bad. But again, that kind of game that FC dug in, worked hard and played the football was absolutely magnificent. But we also have to remember one thing as well, which is if we go back to the end of last season and Neil Reynolds stand on the Broadhurst Park touchline with his microphone saying, look, I'll get us back up next season. The good times will come back. I'm going to make sure that we play some good football. Now, that's very brave from a new manager that a lot of people didn't know, who had just seen a team get defeat after defeat after defeat. I saw a couple of shoots of how he can play football and how he likes to play football. But to do that, and in all fairness, I believe today we'd be celebrating promotion under him. He's been absolutely outstanding, a breath of fresh air, absolutely wonderful to see, to watch. And brings a new approach into football. Reading his weekly serialisation of what he wants, how he'd like to take the club going forward. I mean, this is a person who really would tomorrow, if he could, probably give up his day job, if it was affordable to him, and take over and run FC on a full-time basis. Not saying the team would be a full-time basis. I'm talking about the club itself, where he can work with the youth team and so on and so forth. And he's put his money where his mouth is to a degree. He's made sure that we've seen some good football. He believed in all the players. And I'm sure going forward for the coming season, those players have all re-signed. No one would want to leave FC United of Manchester unless you're going into the professional game. And it's going to be a really, really interesting season. It's not only Neil as well we have to thank. It's all the other backroom staff as well. You know, the likes of Chaddy, who's been through the mill with manager, player, new man, other manager, became a manager himself for a short period at FC United. And all the others involved have done a tremendous, tremendous service to the club this season to put us where we are and back on the map. And that is a big thing, back on the map.
And another person, James, who we need to mention, as well as Chaddy, and Olivia Smith as well, who's the hardest working person at FC United, just to say. Brian Richardson, a hell of an appointment.
Yeah, he's kind of someone who obviously knows the game inside out. And is you can see sort of the body language on the bench of how he's very much thinking. You know how emotional Neil Reynolds is, how he's a bit of a kick every ball and he has a really emotional reaction to everything. And Brian is kind of maybe not like that. Not that he doesn't have reaction or isn't emotional, but he's very thoughtful and he's kind of very critical. You know, sometimes I remember we drew a game, we threw away some points after a good long run of games, and Brian saying after the game, well, it's back to the drawing board, which sounds quite extreme, but you just know that he he'd really seen the detail of what had gone wrong and what needed to be done, and I think was absolutely fundamental to the club's success last season.
Now, another person who was fundamental, we have to say, is the FC UM Radio player of the season. We often pick the player right, in my humble opinion, as a collective. And I think we picked the right player this year. Luke Griffiths will be coming up in a second. We do need to come up with a disclaimer on this one, though, don't we, Swampy? Luke is from Liverpool, so tune your ears.
He's my one of my favourite players, I would say, currently of all time at FC United, and he's only been there a season. I think the guy is that good, and I would pay to watch him week in, week out, anywhere he played. Absolute quality. And it's great that Manchester and Liverpool can come together. And so what if he's from Liverpool? I don't know. I'm not sure. Did we find out whether he was red or blue?
I never asked that question.
But I don't want to know the answer, to be honest. No. I think I'll be scared of.
We're going to say goodbye to you three temporarily, just while we play this interview, and then we'll be back with their thoughts on next season and just a general wrap up of the show. It's now time to play that interview with Luke Griffiths, FC UM Radio's Player of the Season 2019-20, and I caught up with Luke on Saturday afternoon.
Well, joining FC to start the season was perfect for me. Special from playing for Prescott Gables after having a year out of football, and speaking to Reynolds, he's put all the confidence in me of playing football at FC United, and to be player for the season at the radio, I couldn't be any happier.
Going back to that squad that was assembled, there was a fair few players from Step 4, including yourself. Obviously, you've worked with Brian Richardson before, so have you been blown away by how much you've all gelled and blossomed at Step 3?
Yeah, well, I think with the players that we had in the team, with the likes of Chaz, Potty, even at the start of the season, having Sharpie in the team, they played at high levels. I don't think it was a massive step. I think it was just being able to bond and getting together as a team, being able to play together, which we did in pre-season, but obviously with the start of the season we got off to, it was quite hard for us, but Renault kept belief in us. And we just kept going, and obviously results ended up coming our way.
And obviously in midfield, you joined there with the skipper, Mr. Michael Potts. I mean, what's it? The pair of you seem to swap roles really well. You could play defensive midfield, he can go charging forward, and you swap that really, really well. So what's it like playing in that midfield this season?
Yeah, well, with Potty, me and him can bounce off each other quite a lot. Playing with Potty is easy, but I like to sit a lot more defensive, and he likes to get forward a lot more. I like to be able to get on the ball and obviously split the lines and give him the ball further forward. So I think it just slotted in perfect for me and Potty to play together. And then obviously we had Alex Curran, who could always get on the ball and always turn and change the game by getting at defenders and having a little pass through to somebody. But in the midfield, the Potty was perfect for me.
And I was going to say, I mean, that the whole team, it seemed fit perfectly for you, because you were able to move around, passing the ball, dictating pace and tempo and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it must be an absolute joy to be playing in that team with all that movement and all the pace, especially when FC are on it. I mean, I can think of, like, Hyde United away, that brilliant game where you did that pass from Belford over to Linney, who scored. I mean, that games like that must be a joy to be playing an integral role in.
Yeah, well, at the start of the season, I was playing more of an eight. And I got the red card away at Lancaster, I think. Yeah, I think it was Lancaster. Did we draw that game 0-0?
0-0, yes. And you did get a red card. You were very naughty that evening.
Yeah,
yes.
I got a red card. And when I come back with Renault, I was on the bench a couple of games. And he asked me, he said to me, do you want to play in more of a defensive role? And I said to him, I'd prefer that position. I'd prefer getting on the ball off Curtis, Doyley, Doddy, Aaron, whoever's in the back four. And I like to dictate the play. And then from then on, Reynolds put the belief in me to play that position, and that's where I can be able to fit in that team perfectly.
And what's it been like playing at Broadhurst Park? Obviously, you know, Prescott Cables have got quite an energetic young fan base behind that goal, haven't they? It's Hope Street, isn't it? It's called. It is Hope Street. I've not made that up. At Hope Street. And But FC United this season, what's it like playing in front of that crowd?
Yeah, well, playing in front of Ascot Gables was new to me because I hadn't played any men's football at the time, and I enjoyed it. I loved playing there for them. But once I had the FC United on the phone and Renault phoning me, once I knew the attendance, the crowds getting, obviously the stadium, and having a look around the ground, I couldn't wait to sign. So when I signed, I couldn't wait to play the first game of the season, which was high. And when Paddy saved that pen at the time, and the crowd all cheered for a saving pen, I got goosebumps on the pitch, and I just thought, wow, this is the best place I've played.
Apart from the goal against Stafford, I'm going to suggest, because one criticism, Luke, it's only one, goal scoring. Yeah. But you hit the bar one a couple. You've hit the woodwork a couple of times, haven't you? And that goal against Stafford. But yeah. what has been your highlight this season playing for FC United?
I think the late goal against Warrington. I think on the pitch at the time, if I scored, it was 4-3. We were getting beaten. We took the free kick, but then I gave it wide, and I thought I'd overhit the pass. And I thought everyone on the pitch was going to be moaning at me because I thought the pass was bad. And Potty delivered this ball in, and Kurt sent it in, and everyone just went crazy on the pitch and on the stands. And I just thought that was the best moment I've had this season.
I was going to say, I mean, in the commentary, James says, "Well, oh, that pass, what was that pass?" But you meant it though, didn't you, Luke? Really? I know you're being humble.
Yeah.
You meant to send him that wide because that was a better angle for the ball in, wasn't it?
So, it was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
Exactly. You knew exactly what you're doing. but Luke, I mean, just before we go, a quick thought, really. I mean, this squad has been absolutely amazing this season. It's a shame that it's been cut short, but it's been cut short for obvious reasons. So, what's your hope for next season? Can we do it again and maybe go one better this time?
Yeah, I think the squad's got the capability of being able to go one further. Next season's just waiting to see what's going to happen. I think we've got a brilliant squad at FC. I think a couple more additions would be perfect. And I think we've got the capability to be able to go a step further.
Luke Griffiths there, FC UM Radio's Player of the Season 2019-20. And we're back now. Hello, are you free? Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're into the home straight, everyone. So we've got 7 minutes left to fill. How exciting. Just to say hello to Paul the Pen, who's been in touch with us on the forum. Got over 100 listeners listening to this, gentlemen.
Ben, you've just waved at Paul the Pen.
Yeah.
This is a radio broadcast. I mean, maybe if we knew Zoom, we could have included all the radio listeners. They could have all joined.
Like Zoom. I've discussed this with you off air, Swampert. I don't do Zoom. Not interested.
Let's not waste the listeners' time with this debate.
So, FC United finishing a season that didn't actually exist in second position. Did we finish in second? Oh, I don't know. But it feels like we finished in second, so that's the most important thing. At time of recording, I think South Shields are still pursuing it and seeing what can happen. The National League haven't decided yet how they're going to complete their season, whether there's going to be relegation, whether there's going to be promotion. So with that regard, Swampe, I know we discussed this earlier on an MPL show recording, but in less than 90 seconds, what's your view?
I think it's an absolute, it's a cock-up, complete cock-up, because people don't know where they are, what they're doing, how they're doing it. Too many people not making decisions. We need one organisation, one board. We need supporters at the forefront of it, and we've got to make sure that we get this right. And if we can't get it right now, because it's going to happen again, we discussed it, didn't we? It's going to happen again, this pandemic will come back. So we have to have something in place to make sure that this doesn't happen again. The importance is to keep supporters safe and players safe. To restart the Premier League is an absolute nonsense in June. Playing behind closed doors is a nonsense as well. If we finished our division, everybody else should finish as well. It should be one for all and all for one. Not because money's more important here, therefore we've got to do this and do that. It's ridiculous. It's nonsensical. Here in Europe, we've already cancelled several leagues already. I know the Bundesliga want to go back, but three players have already just been have the virus within a few weeks of training, so that should be put to bed as well. No football, just finish it all and let's put something together in place where we can all then move forward and hopefully save all the football clubs that are actually suffering at this moment in time.
Because Paul, obviously now the MPL season is finished. We wait and see what happens with South Shields and the other clubs we should mention as well. But We need a start date for next season, but it feels like it's miles away, really, given what's going on outside.
Yeah, I agree. It is a complete nonsense that there's a rule for the upper echelons and a rule for everybody else. I think the quicker we know where we stand, the better. At least the Northern Premier League look like we're going to keep the status quo and we're all going to start anew with the same clubs.
And James, your take on this, finally, for this bit of the show?
Well, I think that, nothing much to add really, but I think that it's quite harsh on teams that were, I mean, I think there are teams in other areas of the country who are already mathematically promoted, and I think that is quite harsh when a team was in that position. But obviously, it's a question of where you draw the line with relegation. So I tend to agree with the boys that we should just draw a line under it and move on. Think about next season when it can start.
What is interesting as well to note is, let's not forget, it's not just the men's team, it's the women's team who are actually going for every single trophy. And I tell you what really, really does annoy me is that the Premier League is still thinking about carrying on. Mm. They scrapped this Women's Super League within 5 seconds, didn't they? You know, that's it. That season's over. So the women's game certainly, as far as I'm concerned, isn't held in the same esteem from the FA or from anywhere else, because basically, if the Premier League is still going to consider to carry on playing football, but they've actually got rid of Women's Super League, it's an absolute travesty. It really is.
It's about being terrified of people with deep pockets to start long legal wrangles, isn't it? That's part of the reason, and it's it highlights the role of money within the game.
Yeah. If everyone knows, everyone's happy. If the uncertainty still lies there, people are going to pursue, and that's the difficult bit. But I am looking forward, just to say, I'm looking forward to the new range of PPE wear that FC are bringing out in the next couple of weeks. Your replica mask, your replica one glove for the goalkeepers, and a whole host of replica bibs in the megastore FC United coming up in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. Get down there and get yourself sorted.
Social distancing in the penalty area.
Absolutely.
Yes, well, zonal marking. Football's going to be the rage.
Zonal marking is very important. I was going to say, I mean, when it comes to goalkeeping gloves, unfortunately, we do have to follow government advice, and therefore, when you want to buy a pair of Ollie Martin goaling gloves or that kind of thing, they only come in ones now, unfortunately. You have to buy them twice. Just before we go...
You actually used my joke better than I did, actually, there, Ben. Well done.
Thank you very much. Just before we go, how important is it for FC United to it's stating the bleeding obvious, but we need to finish the show somehow. How important is it for Neil Reynolds to keep the squad he's got? You know, we spoke about Luke Griffiths, we spoke about Tunde. The spines there, we discussed all the players in great detail last week. James, how important is it to keep the squad together for next season? What can they achieve, do you feel?
Well, I definitely think FC can be right up there again. I think it's very important to keep it together. I just think it's important. It's hard to get strong replacements, but it was interesting watching that 4-4 draw that FCMTV has shown this afternoon. And Jones was just back from injury, and the defending was quite chaotic. And it is the question of making sure we have someone you can turn to. You don't have to go out and get a loan signing. Now, I know that's hard to get somebody, very strong player, who's going to be happy to rotate or be on the bench. But I think that at two or three, maybe three or four strong additions to really solidify that squad. And I think with the players we've already got, I think would put us in the right position.
I think I'm going to make a couple of bold predictions here. I think
here
next season.
Go.
I think
wait, everyone, sit down. Swampy's got some bold predictions. Swampy, go.
Right. I'm going to say that we're going to a season on from the squad that we've got. I think every player will stay. I think we will maybe add two or three additions. I think also that we have got to improve, and we will improve, and I think we'll improve. Actually, I think next season we will be have the best defensive record in the division. We have a goalkeeper who keeps clean sheets. We have a back four that have been absolutely superb. After one season together, they're going to know each other inside out for next season. We're going to be the top goal scorers. We're going to be the best defensive record, and we're going to win the division in Berkey terms by at least 10 points by Christmas. And I also believe that we'll have Alex Curran still in the team. I don't think Alex Curran's going anywhere. I think he'll be an FC player next season, and it'd be like having a new player back. You know, we see that with players that get injured, and bringing them back in when they're fully recovered, you're thinking, wow, we've just signed a new player. And I think he will be part and parcel of that. I don't think Stockport County is the team that he'll go back to. I think he'll stay back with FC United and Manchester and continue his rehabilitation and maybe have another season with us until maybe another club comes in for him, or indeed he ends up playing in the Football League or the National League with Stockport County. But I think it's going to be an excellent season. How many games we get into it, I don't know, and how the format's going to be, I don't know. I think it could ultimately change completely, but I think we're in good stead. Right management, great supporters, the armchair army play their part hugely as well, and football to really, really get into and enjoy.
And Paul, final thoughts for you, my friend.
Last summer we had a team full of strangers in a room, and I think that the best that we hoped for was maybe top seven. I think we're in a much stronger position this time around, and our sights will be set far higher, and I think we could give South Shields a good run for their money.
There we go. Well, that's been FC Live for this season. Hope you've all enjoyed it at home. Sorry you got cut short towards the end of March, but we're back here now to say goodbye, and that's the most important thing. It's hello, as my son joins us for this emotional moment at the end of the season. Just to say, Bodsy's been in touch to say I hope this is going to be available to listen to again. It will be out on Monday as a podcast, so that's good news. And a big thank you to Cameron Belford, Neil Reynolds, Curtis Jones, and Luke Griffiths for joining us on this week's show. Big thank you as well to James Quinn, my friend. Take care.
Thank you, Ben.
Swampe, take care.
Stay safe, everyone.
Sato Paul, always a pleasure. Take care. Oh, and speaking of Sato Paul, and what Swampy said earlier, the women's team, there will be a podcast out at some point, probably next week, which will be mine and Paul's favourite goals to commentate on during this season, because there has been some pretty special moments from the women's team. So look out for that one on FC Radio later in the week. But a big thank you as well to Constructive Coding for sponsoring us this season. A big thank you, as always, to the generosity of the Armchair Army. And from everyone here in our various locations we're broadcasting for this Last in the Present series of FC Live, you all have a lovely, lovely summer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.